Hello, Husker fans. Welcome to episode 250 of the Husker Football Fan Podcast. I'm Mike Harvett.
And I'm Justin Swanson.
In today's episode, we react to Nebraska's heartbreaker loss to Michigan and gear up for the $5 Bits of Broken Chair Bowl against Minnesota. We also hear from you on the Runza Reaction Line.
You can find us on the web at huskerpod.com or by searching Husker Football Fan Podcast on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Twitter by following at huskerpod or email us at huskerpod@gmail.com. This episode is brought to you by Central Nebraska Buffalo. Check out their website for their latest deals. That's cnbuffalo.com.
Also brought to you by Monty Rohde with Pinnacle Realty in Lincoln. Looking to buy or sell a home in Lincoln or know somebody who is? Reach out to Monty at 402-770-3356.
Go Big Red! Well, another close miss.
You know, in the wake of the game...
Yeah.
I was thinking, man, we really don't need to talk about this very much. We could just have people go back and listen to our reaction after the Oklahoma game. But I think, like, given time to process this loss, and even seeing, like, the way some of the players and coaches have talked about this loss, I feel a little bit different today than I did after Michigan State or after Oklahoma. Are you picking up on that too?
Yeah, I think that we continue to face really talented teams and hold our own. And we, you know, the officiating was bizarre for sure. But you take that aside and we held our own. Our special teams didn't destroy our chances in any way. I mean, they're very respectable. Untimely. The interception that Adrian threw, like, whatever, you're going to have those. Fumble, obviously, we can quibble over whether or not it was meant to be, but I mean, those were two. It's just, yeah, we hung tight. We played relatively clean and took care of a lot of our bugaboos from earlier this season. So, yeah, it does feel like we are moving in the right direction. I really thought we were going to win.
Yep. I did not think so in the first half.
Yeah.
I even was texting a friend of mine. I said, man, it just feels like we're going to lose this game. And then the third quarter happened.
Yeah. Well, and we've not been a third quarter team, right? We haven't been a first quarter team or a third quarter team.
Yeah.
And they put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I kept thinking through the first half of that, that Chris Farley Columbia Coffee skit where they're like, sir, did you know that we substituted your specialty coffee with Columbia coffee?
Right.
And he's smiling really big. And then over a few seconds, it slowly goes down to a frown and then into rage.
Right, right.
Like, that's how it kind of felt the first half was, with a really fast start and then getting stuffed in the goal line, basically. And then we just couldn't do anything. No, it was 13-0, right, at halftime? And so it was just a sense of frustration after a hot start. But yeah, they came back out, put a bunch of great plays together, got a timely turnover that made for a really short field, and we had the lead.
Yeah. How did you feel about that decision to go for it on the first drive?
It was fine. You know, he's being aggressive. Special teams have been a liability, and he said in the post game that he didn't think he thought we needed to get all the touchdowns we needed, or we could get, because
yeah,
what it would take.
Yeah, I'm remembering that too. He said, like, I didn't think we were going to win this game with field goals. I think it was essentially what he said.
That's what he said. So, yeah, I was fine with it. It was frustrating when it didn't work out, but I was fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you kick a field goal from that position and you miss it, and they get it actually back out at the 20.
Yeah.
So, and missing a field goal does seem like it could happen at this point. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, yeah, go for it. If you don't get it, they're pinned deep, and they were deep.
Yep, yep. I had that's pretty much exactly how I felt. Okay. I did see some people on Twitter being like, "You take the points. You got to take the points." But and thankfully, I actually haven't seen too many people pointing to those 3 points as like, "See, that's the difference in the game." It's like, well, yeah, but at the same time, like, the entire game would have been played differently. Like, maybe they wouldn't have gone for two when they went for two. And, you know, there's just so many other variables that would change the game if we made that field goal or attempted that field goal.
Yeah, that going for two thing, that was goofy because I don't think you really need to do that because you just kicked the field goal and you're up 20-7, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's not an exact even two touchdowns.
It definitely, yeah, struck me as a, like, we need to even this out just for the sake of it evening. Like, I don't know if you've
ever
had...
Like an OCD thing.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like I don't know if I have... I've had friends who had to, like, put their volume at a certain, like, interval in their car. Like, they couldn't leave it at, like, volume level 16. It had to be at 15 or 20.
Mm. Yeah, definitely, because... Well, especially points had been a premium at that point. Mm-hmm. And so then you play it forward, and we go for two to make it a three-point lead, which, you know, makes a little more sense, I think. And so instead of, it could have been 20-21, but then it became 19-22. So then we had a three-point lead because they went for it and failed, which motivated us to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think especially early in the third quarter like that, you just kick the field goal. Or the
exactly. Point. But, you know. It is what it is. You know, this is the rough thing, is people are going to talk about the officiating, understandably. I would say the only thing in the entire game where I'm like, man, we got hosed, is that fumble.
Yeah.
I personally, before I even knew what was going on, I was like, why didn't they, like, they stopped in, where's the whistle for forward progress?
Yeah.
And then I saw that guy come in to tackle him from behind. Thankfully, it wasn't as bad as it looked live in the moment, but I thought that guy was going to, like, break Martinez's legs tackling him low down like that. Mm-hmm. But then the ball came out, and before I knew it, they were talking about Martinez fumbling, and I was just like, come on. Like, it just... And then on the very next drive... So frustrating. They blow the whistle like while a guy is still moving for Michigan. Didn't make any sense for me. So
yeah, really inconsistent.
Yeah. Well, consistently not calling holding for either team.
Oh my goodness. The things that they decided to call and the things that they didn't call are it's very peculiar.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that so many Husker fans were surprised by disconcerting signals. I feel like we've talked about disconcerting signals like five times on this podcast somehow.
What? Maybe not in those words, but yeah, it's certainly been an issue. People have claimed, we've claimed other teams did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although I've seen footage of the one that they flagged, and he was clearly looking over to another guy trying to get his attention. I haven't looked at the footage earlier where Harbaugh was claiming that we were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at that video and it's like, oh, this was nothing.
The funny thing, too, is I think somebody pointed out online, did Michigan even use clapping as a part of their cadence? I don't think they did.
Oh, I don't know.
That's so funny. Where, like, sure, you can call out clapping, and apparently there has been a push for clapping to be, you know, they've been telling refs to keep an eye out for that kind of thing and crack down on it. But, I mean...
Yeah,
they're gonna get
dinged on that in their post game review. The refs are for sure.
Well, and then also like reviewing every other play.
Oh, that was so bad. I will say the second touchdown that they took off the board, I was pretty irritated, and I was like, it's clearly a touchdown. Just let them have it and let the game proceed. And because I think they were trying to review whether or not it crossed the threshold. I don't think they were reviewing the knee, right? It wasn't until later.
No, they were reviewing the knee because Frost, like, made them review it.
Oh, okay, really?
Yeah, he called for it. Otherwise, because I had the same attitude. I was like, okay, whatever, let's get this over and done with. They're going to get in the end zone. But
he said Held saw it up in the booth.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Also, did you see we retweeted a gal who works in Husker Vision who some national writer pointed out that the Husker Vision person saved Nebraska 4 points. And because in the stadium there, I think there were a lot of people that were like me. They're like, kind of like, well, let's just get this over with. And then all of a sudden they showed the highlight. And then on Husker Vision, they circled the knee.
Yeah. I heard the crowd go nuts on the broadcast. So
really?
clearly they saw, I mean, clearly you all saw something that we at home did not see. So
yeah, not until that moment did I see it. And so, anyway, this person who was working in Husker Vision was saying that was like the highlight of her life or something. Getting those points back.
That's great.
Good work. Good work, friend.
That's great.
You know, back on the fumble, the moment he got through that hole and kind of hit the pile, I said, just don't fumble, buddy.
Oh, no.
I think we all probably had that thought in that moment. Just, you know, one of my friends was saying, you just got to know where the down and distance is and just get down. You don't even need, you don't need to fight for the extra yards.
Yeah. Yep.
He's a fighter. He's a fighter, I'll say. He's a fighter for sure, but he also is pretty wise with his body. It kind of is irritating that he runs out of bounds pretty quick. But then again, he has never played all the way through his season at Nebraska. He's always been out for something injury-wise, and then there's usually a drop-off after him. So, while you know, part of me wants to see him put his shoulder down to get the extra yards, you put your shoulder down to get an extra yard, and it dislocates, and then that was the most worthless extra yard you ever fought for.
And we'll never know. We'll never know what was happening at the bottom of that pile on that punt. But
yeah,
get out of town. When has that ever been called? When is that? When has tie goes to the runner called during a football game?
The only time I can ever think of that decision being made was there was a game. I think it was the Packers. I don't know who they're playing, but Aaron Rodgers threw a Hail Mary or something, and the defender and the offense, the wide receiver, went up and they both had their hands on it and they both went to the ground holding it the whole time.
You know what? I remember what you're
and
describing.
One ref did the touchdown signal and another ref is doing the side-to-side incomplete signal, and there's a famous picture of that. And so that was where like tie goes to the runner. And it was obvious. We could all kind of see, oh wow, that's even. Like, how do you say who's got it and who doesn't? But when you've got a big pile like that, I mean, dig down, get to the bottom. Someone's going to end up with the ball. And there was a bunch of Nebraska guys who seemed to think we had it. And, you know, that's not gospel truth, but that's usually a pretty good indicator of who's got it.
Yeah. Yeah. If you see, if there's a moment where the whole team's like, yep, it's ours, that's a pretty decent indicator that somebody has clear possession at that point, you know? But
these refs, they're just so, I don't know if it's this particular, well, the guy who sat in front of us, the whole game was screaming at the ref from the very first play. His name was Reggie. The ref's name was Reggie. And these guys were, it was like every play, Reggie, you're an idiot, Reggie. It was kind of funny until it was, you know, true and terrible. But
it does seem to be like a pattern that these Big Ten refs are, how can I put it, incompetent.
They're relying on the camera and the replay. So, you know, I appreciate if you run the ball and it pops out and someone picks it up, maybe you let it go and then you can review that. But when you've got a bunch of guys holding up the quarterback and then you've got other players diving at his ankles, and blow that sucker dead. Like, what are you waiting for? And the same thing, the opposite thing really with the fumble, like let them play it out. I don't understand what they're trying to accomplish. It just feels really cowardly. They're like, oh, I don't know what this is, so let's just say it was a tie. I don't want to blow the whistle dead. I want this player's ankles to be broken.
And that's part of the frustration for me. Like they don't, like people are saying like they've got it out for Nebraska. I'm just like, no, I think that they're just really bad at what they do. It's not that they like have some axe to grind against our team. It's just that we need somebody else doing the job. So whatever. We can talk about refs all day.
I was just going to say, that's enough of that.
Yep.
I know there were several people in my section saying, why don't you give it to Yant on that short yardage situation? Why do you keep giving it to Ramir up the gut? Two things. First, later in the game, he started busting those for a little bit longer. Second, as Frost pointed out in the press conference after the game, or maybe it was Monday, there was one short yardage, it was like a second and one, and they tried to give it to, he didn't say who it was, but it was Yant, and he went the wrong way and kind of ran into Adrian, and the play got screwed up. You remember that?
Yeah.
And then I think on third down, it didn't work out, and we ended up punting. So he said, you know, we tried to give someone else a shot and he ran, you know, didn't work. And so Ramir gives us our best chance to win.
Yep.
And he did only have 67 yards on 17 carries for 3.9 yard average. So, you know, that's a first down on three carries, but that's a hard earned yardage. But then he had six catches for 105 yards with 43 yard long. So he's really become quite the back for us, and it's exciting. He's got that burst of speed, too, that once he gets a moment to kick it into gear, he's fast.
Yeah. Yep.
I've also heard a few people express a little bit of disgust that at the end of the game, when you're in the 2 minute drill or minute and a half drill, I think you had Levi Falk and Oliver Martin in instead of Xavier Betts. And I don't know if Torre was in or not. You didn't necessarily have your three fastest, biggest played wide receivers, but I think that may be true, that they are the fastest and they might have the biggest upside for amazing plays, but I think they're going with who they trust.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're saying we might not have the 85-yard touchdown, but they're going to run the play right. I mean, Xavier dropped an option pitch earlier in the game, and I guess I don't think Oliver did anything wrong, but
I think what I'm hearing from you is that are we as a fan base slowly starting to trust the decision-making process of our coaching staff?
Yeah, I think I am. Mm-hmm. I think I am. Thank you for kind of drawing that out of my word mumble jumble here. Is that, yeah, I think Frost is really putting it together. Mm-hmm. I'm really...
Man, some of the play calling in this game was beautiful, actually.
It was really great.
Yeah.
It was really great. It was a lot of fun. It was exciting. And that second quarter, they were still kind of fighting through some stuff, and they decided to open it up in the third quarter, and it was exciting. I thought we had it, man. I thought we were going to win it.
We will next year. I feel like we got Michigan's number.
You know what? This is the hardest schedule in the country. You know, maybe the second, depending on where you look. This is
Three of our four losses, top 10 teams.
Yeah.
And they were all down to the wire.
Right. Yep. And fluke plays in all of them. So we're just so close. And it almost feels, I was thinking about this earlier today, this is like our chrysalis year. Like the last few years, we were a fat little caterpillar. And this is the year where we've crawled up into our chrysalis, and something beautiful is forming. Something gorgeous is preparing to be unleashed.
That's interesting that you say that, because I saw some discussion, and forgive me, I'm not going to look it up, but it was somebody made a post on Reddit, on the Huskers subreddit. I don't know if it was yesterday or today, but they were talking about everybody keeps pointing to, man, we just need that one... We need that one game to be like the turning point for our team. What if this entire season is that turning point?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that you put a lot on the team, and there's kind of this pressure for like this moment for like just the floodgates to open and suddenly we're good. But, you know, last week or a couple weeks ago, we were talking about like we're slowly turning that cruise ship, right?
Yeah,
I think maybe we're seeing that cruise ship is finally starting to turn around and head in the correct direction. And, you know, just a moment ago, I was talking about three out of the four teams that we lost to were top 10 teams. That is an objective metric that we have discussed at length in previous years. What's one thing that we pointed out that we wanted to stop happening? We didn't want to get embarrassed and mm-hmm. get blown out by these highly ranked teams on national television. I don't think that there's anybody who can argue that Nebraska is a bad team this year. I think a lot of people who even hate us are just looking at the way things have gone and said, man, that's rough for them, you know?
Mm.
I think people get it, that Nebraska is a better team than their record reflects this year.
I don't think anybody on our schedule is excited to play us. On the flip side, I am excited to get a shot at, I don't want to say vengeance, but, you know, I'm excited to play these next few teams on our schedule.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not thrilled to play Ohio State again, but, heck, I'm excited to play everybody on our schedule right now. We've got a shot with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is as bad as they've been. Purdue and Minnesota look real beatable. Ohio State has not been perfect this year, even though their schedule shows that they are. And Iowa, I think we match up with pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
I have a friend who's a diehard Iowa fan, and he says that Nebraska is the one team left on their schedule that he's nervous about. So
I've seen several people guess today that Nebraska upsets an undefeated Iowa in the last game of the season. Now, if that could be for our seventh win instead of our sixth win,
oh, that'd be beautiful.
I'd like that. I'd appreciate
that. Icing on the cake. Yep.
But, you know, if we're going to win and be at six or, you know, and get to a bowl, I'd rather, whatever, let's just get there. We need that bowl. Right. We need that bowl so bad. I mean, there's only so many moral victories. We need to extend the chrysalis phase for another like 3 weeks so we can get underclassmen practices. Is there a chrysalis for a butterfly and a cocoon for a moth?
I don't know, man.
Vice versa. I've got little kids. We're reading these types of
books. I go open up an Eric Carle book and find out. The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
No, I know. I was trying to read the book in my mind. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Wait, now I'm second guessing. Is it Caterpillar or Caterpillar? Oh, my gosh. Is that some Midwestern thing that I was unaware of in the way I talk?
Coupon. Nick Henrich and Luke Reimer, 15 and 12 tackles, respectively. Cam Taylor-Britt, 11 tackles, 3 passes defended.
Yeah.
Deontay Williams, 8 tackles. Man, this defense is playing lights out right now.
Yeah. Looked a little tired towards the end of the game.
Understandably.
But they were on the field a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see if we have that total time of possession here. I think they had it maybe 5 minutes more than us.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe to sum some things up here, I didn't watch the press conference, the post-game press conference until today.
Okay.
Recording on Monday. I just did not feel, I wasn't feeling it. Like, I didn't feel the need to, and in part because I didn't feel like he had anything to really explain. I didn't feel like the players had anything to, you know, they tried their best, and they came up short against a team that's in the top 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, I finally watched it, and I would say that Frost seemed pretty upbeat for a team that, for a coach that's 3-4.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he seemed pretty positive, and I think that's great. So, I'm really excited to see what we can do down the home stretch. And I think a bowl, we got to win 3 out of the last 5. We got Purdue and Minnesota. I think we can definitely beat. And we got Ohio State and Iowa, who we could beat. And then we've got Wisconsin, who I think we should beat at this point. So, you know, we're in a good spot, and I'm excited to see where things go.
I like it. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and turn it over to the Runza reaction line here, because I think that our voicemails reflect the overall tone of our discussion this week. So we're not alone in what we're thinking about this team and where they're headed. First up is Danny from Omaha.
What's up, guys? This is Danny from Omaha. I just want to say I'm really proud of the team. I just finished watching Scott Frost's presser, and he said the same. He also said it was one of the most fun games he had coached, and it really was fun. As having been a fan personally of a bunch of teams that lose games, I kind of feel like Husker Nation kind of needs to face the fact that the Huskers are a good team, but that doesn't always translate into wins. And if you've ever been a fan of a team that, you know, loses games, it's common for people to say, like, you know, either you are in it just for the wins or you're a true fan. So, you know, I'm proud of the Huskers. It was a really exciting game to watch. I think they played awesome. And we just got to stick with them because they're getting better and they're doing really well. So, go Big Red.
Thanks for calling back, Danny. Yeah, that's an interesting take there. I'm a fan of the team. I'm a diehard fan of the team, but I also want to see wins. Maybe that's not fair. That's probably not what Danny was getting at. But yeah, you know, I think that there's a lot of wisdom, and you can be a really good team, but that doesn't always mean that you're going to win every game. You know, that's part of life.
Yeah. You know, it's a smaller contingent than it's been in the past few frustrating games, but there were still a few people who were like, Frost has to go. He can't do it. But, and so I was on a mute fest over the weekend on social media. I don't want to hear these people, like, their opinion is so extreme. It's not valid. Like, you are an extremist about Scott Frost, and you need to hush up. It's coming. It's coming. We're so close. It's the hardest schedule in college football, and we're hanging right there with the best of them. Michigan State just tweeted tonight about how amazing the running back is and how unstoppable he is. I mean, we shut that guy down. Michigan's quarterback hadn't thrown an interception in his career to this point. We intercepted him.
It was so wonderful to finally stop hearing Michigan hasn't trailed all year. Well, guess what? They trailed to Nebraska this weekend.
Booyah. And then to flop over back to special teams, Pristup had four kicks for 190 yards. That's 47.5 yards average. I mean, he had a 55-yard kick in there. It's coming together, folks. Mm-hmm. We're getting there. Now, I will say it needs to happen against the teams that aren't good.
Like, right.
And we just did that against Northwestern. We need to do it again.
Better not play down to these next few teams. Right. Yeah. Yep.
We need to take it to PJ. Okay, I'm done.
Have I expressed my disdain for PJ Fleck?
We'll get there.
All right. So our next call comes from Brandon in Kansas City.
Guys, it's Brandon in Kansas City. I'm disappointed tonight. But for the first time in a while, I'm not disappointed by the team. I'm disappointed by an absolute one-sided call of the game by the officiating crew. I hate complaining about refs. I feel like that's the normal playbook of a losing team. But man, Nebraska shouldn't have to overcome such egregious calls by one team, including on basically what ended up being the winning drive for Michigan, where Martinez clearly had his forward progress stopped and is getting punched by Michigan players until he fumbles the ball. I see the fight. I see the heart. Guys played great tonight. Frost called a great second half. The defense did what they needed to do to win. Everybody on that team did what they needed to do to win. And for the first time, probably since 2010, we had a game stolen from us by the refs. I think back to that night in College Station. So I'm going to stay positive. I think they should be very angry and should kick the crap out of Michigan next week. And it should set up for a good conclusion of the season. I think going to a bowl is still in the cards. If they can just keep bringing this effort every week. So thanks, guys. Look forward to hearing your thoughts later this week. Bye.
Brandon, thanks for the call. I feel like he's actually echoing, or maybe we're echoing him, a lot of stuff we've talked about tonight. And it's good to hear other people in Husker Nation looking forward to the future. And let's go get bowl eligible.
Yep. And I'm sure we all know he meant to say Minnesota when he said Michigan. That's okay.
Right.
Well, thanks to Danny and Brandon for calling in. We did receive, let's just say there, not every phone call that we get gets played on the podcast. We would appreciate it if you were at least somewhat sober when you call. But that's neither here nor there. I do also want to point out that our invitation for a certain caller from Pleasantville last week, that person did not call in. So if you're listening, the invitation is extended through the end of the season. If you want to call in at any point, we'll be sure to feature you on the podcast. I'm not going to name names because I don't want it to sound like I'm calling anybody out. But if you live in Pleasantville and you've tried calling before, you know who you are.
How many coupons have we offered up for this at this point? Like
at this point, it's just two for this person. So,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. On to let's row this boat up to Michigan. Now I'm the one saying Michigan on accident. Let's row the boat up to Minnesota.
All right. Don't get us confused. Okay. So looking here at Minnesota's schedule thus far, they are 3-2. They lost their season opener to Ohio State 45-31 in a game that was close for a while before Ohio State pulled away in the end. And I think had us thinking that Minnesota was pretty good. And Ohio State, of course, is number 2 overall in SP+. Then they went and hosted Miami of Ohio, who is 86th overall, and they just squeaked it out 31-26. This team's real up and down, as you're going to see here. Mm-hmm. Then they go to Colorado, who team who's 88th in SP plus, so two spots worse than Miami of Ohio, and they score about the same amount of points, 30, and they totally blank Colorado, so 30-0 at Boulder. Yeah.
What happened the next week, Justin?
Then they host Bowling Green, who's 117th overall in SP plus. We're getting into Nebraska special teams territory here. And they lose 14-10 before bouncing back this last week at Purdue, who's 47th overall, who they beat 20-13.
A strange, strange season.
Yeah, so they've had some injuries, I think, to their wide receivers. I really haven't followed Minnesota very closely, so I can't tell you what's going on here. But yeah, they're all over the place. Looking at some of their statistical leaders here, Tanner Morgan at quarterback, 47 of 90, so 52%, 709 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. He's been sacked 8 times. Trey Potts is their number one guy at running back right now. He's attempted to rush 112 times for 552 yards. That's 4.9 yards per carry. Not bad. 6 touchdowns. Mo Ibrahim. Was he the All Big Ten running back last year? He was definitely the presumptive All Big Ten running back this year. Of course, is out with an injury, so that's probably been really hard for them to absorb that loss.
Yeah,
you look at wide receiver, and Dylan Wright has 9 receptions for 169 yards. That's 18.8 yards average, 2 touchdowns. Daniel Jackson has 14 receptions for 155 yards. It's an 11-yard average and 1 touchdown. And then Mike Brown Stevens, 4 catches for 139 yards. That's a 34.8 yard average, 0 touchdowns. In fact, the Chris Ottman Bell, 7 catches for 128 yards, 18.3 yards per catch, a touchdown. And then Brevin Span Ford, 7 catches for 89 yards, 12.7 yards average. So your top 5 wide receivers don't have a lot of catches. They really don't pass the ball very much, but they're really blowing you up. So I think what that probably means is you've got a lot of play action type stuff where you're sucking the defense in with repeated runs, and then eventually you rip off the top with a big pass. So that's, I'm guessing, having not watched a ton of their games, that's what's happening. Matthew Trickett is the kicker, 14 to 15 on PATs.
With the last name Trickett, you're going to be the guy who kicks it? Come on.
Well, that's his name.
Trickett can kick it. I guarantee somebody's got a t-shirt somewhere that says Trickett can kick it.
And if not, you should make one and start selling it. He's 6 of 9 on field goals. He's missed one from the 20s, and he's missed one from the 40s and one from the 50s. His long is 50 yards. You get down into defensive statistics, and linebackers Jack Gibbons and Mariano Sorimarin are the leading tacklers with 17 and 15 tackles, respectively, solo, a total of 30 and 28 tackles, and 3 and 2 passes defended. Sorimarin has an interception. Gibbons is forced to fumble. So a couple of real active guys in the linebacking core. Tyler Newbin, defensive back, has a couple of interceptions and a pass defended. And their sack leader is Thomas Rush with 3.5 sacks. So those are some names to keep your eyes on. Boye Mafe he's the sack leader. He has 5 sacks for 26 yards from the defensive line.
Dang.
That was a name that we heard about this summer talking to Ryan Burns. So, you know, I think the defense was replacing a lot, and they've allowed some points. Ohio State 45, Miami of Ohio 26, shutting out Colorado, only 14 to Bowling Green, only 13 to Purdue. So actually they started out less effective, and they've gotten pretty decent along the way here. I feel pretty confident in our ability to shut down this offense, especially without Mo Ibrahim. Tanner Morgan with like a 50% completion rate just does not scare me.
Yeah.
not at all.
Especially with our defense, man.
Yeah. I'm really hopeful that I don't think we get a Northwestern beat down here, because I think they're better coached than that and they've got better talent. But I'm thinking a solid win. What about you? Do you have a prediction? You want to do that now?
I do, and I think you've kind of taken the lead the last few weeks. So I'm gonna throw mine out there. If I can talk, I'm going to throw it out there, and I'm going to be bold. So here you go, man. A little bit more separation, a little bit more confidence with my prediction this week. I'm going 35-14.
Okay, I'm going to change my score because it was almost identical to yours.
Come on, man. Just go with what you had.
You ready for this?
Sure.
We're really synced up. I don't know how we need to fix this. I had 34-14.
Get out of town.
That's what I had.
I think you should stick with it. It hinges on one point.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe a missed PAT could be the difference, or two field goals could be the difference instead of a touchdown.
If we score more than 35, well, I guess if we score 35 or more, I win. If we score 34 or less, you win.
And of course, with the Minnesota game comes the Bits a Broken Chair trophy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I talked to Michael Andrews from the Broken Chair trophy crew. They've just got a great group of folks who have been leading on this for a number of years now, and I don't know, maybe I'll be able to gather this from our quick conversation here. I just really feel like they've really matured into a great group of people that knows exactly what they're trying to accomplish, and they get a little better every year, and people get more excited every year, and they get more donations every year. So here is Michael Andrews.
We're excited to have Michael Andrews back on the show. Michael was with us a few years ago to talk about the Chair Trophy. Michael's been on the team organizing stuff behind the scenes with the Chair Trophy for a number of years now. Welcome back to the show, Michael.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, you know, even just today, we're recording here on Monday, I've had people responding to our Twitter account who don't know what the Chair Trophy is. I thought everybody knew. So can you give our listeners, maybe some newer listeners, a little bit quick primer on the chair and what it is and why it exists?
Yeah, sure. So the chair exists because when Bo Pelini was the coach at Nebraska, there was a fake Bo Pelini account called Faux Pelini. And they got into a betting match with the Minnesota Gophers mascots Twitter account. And the bet ended up being a broken chair. And so $5 in a broken chair.
Right.
And so that's kind of how it started. It was around for a few years. It kind of disappeared. We don't really know what happened to the original one, but about 5 years ago, myself included, there was just a group of fans who were like, this is the only chair that Nebraska has in the Big Ten that has its roots in actual fandom, right? It wasn't a predetermined, this has to be a trophy from the
Big Ten. Not a corporate trophy, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to admonish the Big Ten or any corporations or anything, but, and so we wanted to bring it back, and my idea was to just rebuild it and see if anyone would, like, want to parade it around, and word got out, and then we met up with some Minnesota fans, and it was Joe's idea to put a charity around it where we would donate money to the hospital at Minnesota and King Jack, and so just kind of organically grew from that, and that's what we've been doing for the last 5 years. Is every Nebraska Minnesota game, we even up to the games, but especially during the week of the game and like pregame tailgating, we raise money for charity. So
yeah, that's awesome. I feel like for a while there, the goal was maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but to try to get it be some sort of official trophy. But it seems like you guys really have a cool thing going, and you're almost better off with just doing what you're doing.
We had that discussion this year because that was the original intent, was to just get it back and recognized by the schools. Obviously, we would still love if the schools recognize it, but I know there's a lot more involved to that than just, hey, you know, do this trophy. So we're not holding any grudges there. But yeah, we kind of talked about that this year, and it's the way it's grown. I mean, I think we're over $50,000 in, you know, over 5 years, which...
awesome.
Every year never seemed like that much, but when you total it up, that's a lot of money, right? For charity, for what we're doing. And so, yeah, we enjoy it. And I was even talking today with people and how I said, oh, I don't consider this like a thing we do anymore. I consider this part of football season. It's just like, we just do the chair. So,
yeah. You've arrived. No, I think that's really exciting. And just as I was even thinking about talking to you today, it's just like, it's really coming to its own as a thing. And there's, you know, still people don't know about it. And so we got to keep educating. But I feel like Minnesota has won the fundraising portion of it more often than not. Is that right?
I'm not sure that Nebraska has ever won the fundraising
portion
of it. I'd have to go back and look.
I know that we've made a better showing of it this year. Do you know where we're at as of Monday?
Last I checked, you guys were at like a little over 5,000. I don't know where the Team Jack donations are. Once again, I'm the IT guy, so I'm not always the best person to ask for that. Joe would be, or Mary. But yeah, I think you guys are over 5,000 again, and it looks like you're on track to probably beat us again, which I almost take that loss harder than I would take a loss in the football game. So.
You're personally invested. I mean, you can actually do something.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that at least one of our followers on Twitter, which one was it, had a personal challenge, like, hey, if we can get to a certain threshold of giving, I will match, or I'll give $1,000 or something. So, I mean,
yeah,
you're seeing more and more cool stuff like that.
And I feel like in the past, you guys always have an edge on us because there's someone out there from the Minnesota side who always donates a huge chunk anonymously.
Yeah.
So if that person is listening, thank you. But yeah, it's always tough to beat that hurdle. So
yeah. Yeah, in my experience, lots of times when you have a big fundraising campaign, you get one person that can make all the difference. You know, everybody need all you need all the effort, you need everybody, but there can lots of times one person that can make the difference. It was Vegas Jer on Twitter said if we could get to 7,000 today, he would donate 1,000. And it looks like 13 minutes ago, your Twitter account tweeted that we did it. So we're about 8,000. As of recording this on Monday afternoon. So that's really exciting. And the trophy currently resides in Minnesota. So hopefully it'll come back here. And where will it, if and when the Huskers win, where does the trophy go in Nebraska?
I don't know if we've fleshed that out this year because we've bounced it around before. It's stayed at like a local bar and it stayed at a couple other places. And so I think we may try to get it back with Team Jack because that's where we feel like it belongs. With like their office. So we usually figure that out after the fact because sometimes it's a little bit of work to figure out who wants to host it and we want to see the outcome of the game first. So
That's Team Jack is, what a year they've had with losing Jack's dad.
Yeah.
And
it's been tough. That's like I run the Husker subreddit, which we have 20,000 some subscribers, and like it was felt across everyone. So that's hard.
Yeah, I was actually reading his book when it became clear that he was going to pass soon. So that was, it was just like I was hearing his voice in my head in the evenings as I'm reading. And so anyway, really, really sad. So it would be great if we could win this for him, if people could maybe kick in a little extra thinking about the Hoffman family. When do you guys have like a hard and fast, like you must give by this date in order to be counted?
We usually shut it off that Sunday after the game, right? If somebody came up to us with a check, we're not going to be like, oh, you missed the deadline, you can't donate, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just because usually we're trying to get our ducks in a row to make sure the donations are out. That's a little easier the last couple years where we're not taking the money anymore. We're just directing it straight to the Team Jack and
that's a good move.
The hospital foundation. So
I like that.
Just took a lot off our backs because we were concerned about that just from a people questioning things standpoint. So we know
you don't want to hold the money if you don't have to hold the money.
Yeah.
Well, the whole spirit though is it's around the game. So folks, if you're going to give and you please do give, before kickoff, would be my encouragement. Where can people go to give?
They can just go to brokenchairtrophy.com. There are two big buttons right at the top that will say donate for the Huskers or donate for Minnesota. We're also going to be tailgating before the game. I would say tweet at us if you want the chair to try to stop by your tailgate, just at Broken Chair Trophy. If you can do it ahead of time so we can plan, that would be great. But we would definitely try to hit it. If you are there game day and want to see it, you can tweet at us and ask where we are. But like I said, we should be around. I won't be there, but the rest of the team should. So we're happy to do that. I would also say we have an auction for a Minnesota Nebraska chair trophy guitar.
That
someone was willing to create themselves. And so if you just go to eBay and search for Broken Chair Trophy, it'll come up.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's like, that's all going to donations as well. Yeah. We, super generous and a lot of time. And so, yeah, I want to get word out on that too, because that's something tangible you can take home. So
awesome. Yeah. So it looks like I'm on the website here, and we were at 8,130 for team.
Yeah. So I just got a message saying it looks like we're going to break a new fundraising record this year. So, yeah, it's changing as we're talking.
Right now. Well, I just went over to the Masonic Children's Hospital, and they're at 5,310. So Huskers have a lead, but Nebraska has been known to lose leads from time to time. So let's finish strong. Let's go. Everybody. Yep. Give. Great. Well, Michael, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for all your effort and your leadership on this over the last number of years. This is one of our favorite traditions in college football. And I think you're right. I think it's just part of the football season. It's just part of the fabric of college football now. So keep up the good work.
Thanks. And I just want to say, I can't take credit. It's the entire team. Well, like, they do so much. So don't give me all the credit.
Well, you're the one I'm talking to, so you can pass it on.
Okay. I'll just take it all then.
Yeah. Yeah. Just your conduit. Thank you. Awesome. Well, thanks, Michael. And good luck with probably a busy weekend.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us on the program, Mr. Andrews. And breaking news, Justin.
Yeah.
As
is that my nickname, Breaking News Justin?
Yeah, right. This Justin.
This Michael.
Yeah, right. Just before just before we started recording tonight, and tonight is Monday, the week of the game, the Team Jack Foundation has already raised they have raised for the Team Jack Foundation. They've already met their goal of $10,000. They have surpassed that number.
Wow.
And it's the start of the week. So
that's awesome. That's got to be a record, don't you think? I think so. If it's not a record, I mean, they're really on a roll.
Yeah. So let's keep that momentum going, and head over to brokenchairtrophy.com and make a donation. You're going to be helping kids. You're going to be supporting a cause that's way cooler than some manufactured corporate garbage. This is a real grassroots movement, and it's been cool. Justin was kind of speaking to this earlier. I really feel like this Broken Chair Trophy has taken on a life of its own. Like, it started out as this Pelini thing. It became almost kind of a meme when we saw that photo of Riley holding it up. You know, Scott Frost doesn't have anything to do with it at this point, but like, that doesn't matter. Like, the fans have rallied behind this thing and turned it into something super positive, super fun, something we look forward to every year. And they're making a real difference in the lives of young people who really need the help. So I'm all for it.
Mike, you'll enjoy. I mean, when you listen to the conversation, you're going to hear this, but I mean, that was kind of one of the things we talked about is for a while, the goal was to get it, the trophy, recognized or sanctioned by the universities. And at this point, they don't need that. They've got something that they've built on their own. Yep. So it's almost better. You know, someday the schools are going to come back to them and be like, hey guys, this is a really cool thing. I mean, you think we could have it on the field? And they'll be like, well, I don't know.
If they go for think about this. If it keeps going for another 10, 15, 20 years, it feels like it's something where it's going to have to be recognized at some point, you know?
That's, be so good they can't ignore you. Is that like a motivational book or something? I mean, that's basically what they're doing.
Yeah. Because, I mean, at some point they're going to hit a milestone of having raised $100,000, $250,000, something like that. Like, that deserves some recognition, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, heck, I think $10,000 this year deserves recognition, but
absolutely.
Who am I?
Well, we look forward to tweeting out a final number and talking about it when we record next week after we beat the Gophers and keep the trophy, bring it back to Lincoln or wherever in Nebraska it will reside. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe let's land the plane here by me giving you the updated Nebraska SP Plus numbers. I don't think I gave those yet. So after the loss, Nebraska falls 3-4. We dropped two spots overall to 24, so still a top 25 SP Plus team despite having a losing record. Yep. The offense actually went up four spots to 30. That's against a really top defense. The defense went down six spots to 26, and no change in special teams, 122.
Okay. Yeah, I almost felt like, I mean, yeah, that special teams number is just so interesting to me.
Well, we're not doing anything to move the needle up.
Yeah, yep.
We're just holding serves. So, I mean, touchbacks are awesome, and you can't really ask for anything better than a bunch of touchbacks. I mean, you can ask for them running out and pinning them on the 10, but you can't control that.
Yeah.
So touchbacks are awesome, and Oliver Martin is fair catching and successfully catching all the punts.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not losing massive yards on bounces, but you know, we've already done that. Mm-hmm. So we kind of dug the hole. So you're not going to dig back out by just fair catching, but at the same time, that's what this team needs to be successful. Is a decent fair catch. The kicking game is stabilized and the punting game looks okay. So, we probably will just hold steady. And that's maybe a good thing at this point to not screw at the bottom of the barrel. 122, folks.
Right on. Hey, everybody. You know what is also a good thing? Handing out select cuts of bison as Halloween treats.
Oh, wow.
You know, put a real smile on children's faces this year and hand them slab of raw meat. Maybe not. But in all seriousness, the holiday season is swiftly approaching. And what better way to say I love you or I'm thankful for you than by filling the freezer of somebody you love with some healthy, I'm not a doctor, but, you know, some comparatively healthy meat compared to some other options out there. So Central Nebraska Buffalo is the direction we want to point you in. That is cnbuffalo.com. And, of course, you know, with the holiday season, maybe it's time to freshen things up, get yourselves into that new home finally, and have your first Christmas in a new home, right?
Yeah. I'm wondering what prices are doing. We need to talk to Monty and get a sense of where the market's at. I did hear recently that lumber prices have finally come back down.
Yeah.
Not something I track every day, but apparently they have gone the right direction there.
Yep. So if you are looking to start that process, maybe thinking about buying or selling a home and changing things up in the terms of your own living situation, Monty would be more than happy to guide you through that process. So you can reach out to him. Again, his phone number is 402-770-3356.
You need to reach out so that he can help him help you.
We've already been down the Jerry Maguire rabbit hole, Justin. You're not going to bring me there. It's the end of the episode. I'm keeping it straight. We're landing this plane. No gusts of wind taking us back up into the air.
Okay.
Speaking of gusts of wind.
Oh, no. What were you going to say?
I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Audience, you can put two and two together there.
I don't get it.
Gusts of wind, like flatulence. You just made me say flatulence on the show.
Oh, you were looking for an excuse, weren't you?
Anyway.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't suppose there's much left to say. Let's beat. Sink the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Sink the boat, donate to Team Jack, and go Big Red.
Go Big Red.
Husker Football Fan Podcast is an unofficial, non-commercial podcast and is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the individuals expressing them. The Husker Football Fan Podcast is not endorsed by or affiliated with the Nebraska Cornhuskers or the University of Nebraska.